This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Private Equity Podcast. Thrilled today to visit with Matt Wolf of RSM. Matt's going to talk to us about some of the trends he's watching currently in the private equity arena. Matt, do you want to take a moment just to briefly introduce yourself and then just jump right into what are you watching currently?
Happy to, Scott. Thanks again for having me. My name is Matt Wolf. I am a director in RSM's consulting and merger and acquisition practice and one of our senior analysts. So while I do serve clients, I also spend a significant portion of my time working with our economists to study what's going on in the macroeconomic environment, what's going on specifically in my sector, healthcare, and what that means for our clients, specifically, you know, the sponsor-backed clients and our private equity funds that we work with themselves.
Tell us sort of, I know you guys have a crazily busy practice. You've built one of the best businesses in the country, or in the world, really, in sort of sell-side due diligence, quality of earnings, and more, and just a very busy PE-driven mergers and acquisitions practice. What are you seeing currently? What are some of the trends you're watching currently?
Yeah, I mean, busy is a great way to describe it. There's not hardly a better word. You know, I've been looking at some of the data, not only from our own practice, but just the private equity environment in total. And it's been incredible. December of 2020 and really the whole third quarter, we saw over $130 billion of private equity deals, buyout deals. December alone counted for about almost 25% of total private equity deals, with almost $72 billion invested. And since then, the first quarter has been also incredibly busy, averaging about $30 billion in January and February, $53 billion in March. And these are incredible numbers. If we look back to 2019, kind of that average was right around, you know, $30 billion a month. So it hasn't slowed down, you know, since the pandemic, certainly.
People always think about there being, you know, the number you always see quoted is $2 trillion, $2.1 trillion available to be put to work with private equity funds. People talk about that's the dry powder, that's the amount of money you put to work. And so whatever that number is exactly, you start to see $50 billion a month put to work. That means at most people put to work $400 to $600 billion this year. Still leaves private equity funds, assuming that they're doing the regular fundraising, we're still having $2 trillion at the end of the year. Is there such a sense of need to deploy because there's so much capital put to work that private equity funds have to put money to work for fear of not getting it put to work, for fear of missing this incredible opportunity to make fortunes? What's driving some of this?
Well, I think a lot of it is the accommodative rate environment, which we expect will persist for some time. So not only do low rates help get deals done, you know, accommodative financing environment terms are a little more relaxed than they were certainly at this time last year, but it also means that alternative investments are very unattractive. Ray Dalio earlier this week or last week basically said cash is dead. Bond yields are certainly nothing to write home about. So that really just leaves equity. We look at the public markets, and there's about half the number of public companies today, at least on U.S. exchanges, that there were 20 years ago. So you're really talking about putting that money to work privately, and they're, you know, the kind of price action, the pricing process, deal flow, it takes more time, and that money is going to sit for some time, but it's going to be there, right? The investor demand will be there because institutional investors have to make their returns, and they're just not going to find them many other places.
And does the accommodative rate environment, because I'm trying to pierce through this just one bit further, let's say it lasts to 2023, 2024. Does that mean that these funds want to be in these investments now, or they want to be partially exiting, at least in part, before the environment turns against them? Is there just a race to put this to work where there's a couple, 2 to 3 good years left of this? Or what's your sense of that?
Yeah, I think that's how a lot of investors are viewing that. I don't know that the window is necessarily going to close, though, right? We're talking about an accommodative environment right now where we still have, you know, $10+ trillion of negative yielding debt globally. Central banks across the globe have said they're going to keep rates low for longer. But it will end, right? And when we get there, though, we're not going to return to the types of yields that we saw in the 80s, most likely, hopefully not, frankly. We'll get back to the 20-year treasury at around 3.5% or something like that, right? So the yield curve will increase, but it's not going to be anything terribly dramatic from a historical perspective, from a long-term historical perspective. So yes, the investors that we're talking to that are out there looking at deals, trying to deploy capital, they generally share that view that, look, we're going to make hay while the sun is shining. We know rates are likely to increase in 2023 or thereabouts, but I don't think that's going to shut the window necessarily, as some might think.
Right. It won't shut the window. It might temper valuations a bit, but we all think it'll be probably a gradual raise in rates, right? Not back to double-digit rates, but back to 3 to 5% rates at some point, which 3 to 5% treasury rates, maybe 3+ on the 10-year treasury yield, which is at 1.6 or so today. Francine, you're going to talk to us about one more subject that's come up a lot the last couple months, you know, out of almost nowhere, is the concept of SPACs, special purpose acquisition companies. What's going on with SPACs, and why is there all of a sudden a tempering of that craziness? No offense to those
yeah.
who are doing it.
No, of course not. And we've spoken before on this podcast about the fervor behind SPACs and speculated about, well, what is going to stop the SPAC fervor? And we've suggested that, well, if the SEC steps in and takes a closer look at this, that might end the party. And that's exactly what happened, right? Earlier this week, the SEC came out and said, look, these warrants that are issued as part of the SPACs, it is incorrect to treat them as equity. They need to be treated as liabilities, which increases pretty significantly the accounting complexities around that, making this whole kind of quick to IPO process less attractive. And also, frankly, just the current existing SPACs may need to go and restate all of their 10Ks and 10Qs potentially. Right? That's what everybody's looking at right now. And furthermore, too, the SEC and others kind of reminded the community that just because you go public via a SPAC doesn't mean that your disclosures are less rigorous. And so this is, in our view, sort of thrown some cold water on this as an overall financing arrangement. We saw over 100 SPACs list in March. We've had 10 in April. So this has calmed down significantly. I don't think it's going to go away. It will still remain an attractive option for certain companies, certain investors, certain situations. And, you know, part of the reason that we saw that huge run up was what we were talking about earlier. There's trillions and trillions of dollars that need to go to work somewhere. Fewer public companies, fewer options, debt market, you're not going to see that return. So that also fueled that SPAC rise, that meteoric rise, but that money's still going to go somewhere, right? It's going to flow through other channels to find investment opportunities. So the SPAC saga took an interesting turn this month, but the story of that investor demand is still there.
Well, your point is well taken, that regardless of where it's at the end of the day, interest rates are close to zero. You can't get anything on a 6-month, treasury or safe money, safe cash, safe other things. And there is this concern about, in the long term, an inflationary environment. So people want to put money to work, and just a matter of where they put it to work. If it's not through SPACs, it'll be through something else and so forth. Matt, always a pleasure to visit with you and your colleagues at RSM, a brilliant group. Thank you for sharing your thoughts on the explosive deal environment, the amount of money being put to work, and more. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Scott.